This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Amadhin, and this is Kelly and Ramya.
It's Kelly and Ramya on AMI TV, AMI audio and podcasts. We're going to go back into the archives. Now, this might feel a little strange because it is a Wednesday show and we're going back to a Friday conversation, but it was a really good one. So stick around and listen. On February 16th of this year, Ryan Hooey from our Chatty Bookshelf interviewed legendary radio host Alan Cross. And we're going to check out the conversation right now.
Now, the most important part, have I got a guest for you? He is the producer and the host of one of my favorite podcasts right now called Uncharted, Crime, Murder, and Mayhem in the Music Industry. And it's fantastic. He might be most known for, his radio show called The Ongoing History of New Music. And he's been influential across so many radio stations across Canada, and he's been on the air since 1980, and he's not going anywhere. But has he got a story for you? Welcome in, Chatty Bookshelf lovers, the Mr. Man himself, Alan Cross. How are you, Alan? And thank you for joining us.
Welcome. I'm a huge audiobook consumer. I mean, ridiculously huge. So this is kind of fun.
Oh, that's amazing. I'm always glad to hear. Maybe we'll have to chat about some recommendations and then I'll bring them here and let everyone know. But obviously I'm a huge fan of Uncharted. So for the people, the audience out there that might not have tuned in, can you give us maybe 25 second or 30 second, I know it's going to be difficult, synopsis of what you got going on there with Uncharted, the great podcast?
Actually, it's not that complicated at all. The true crime genre is the biggest in the podcasting world. So I wanted to get a piece of that. So Uncharted, Crime and Mayhem in the Music Industry is all about the intersection of crime, true crime, and also music. So the music industry is a very, very swampy place, and a lot of weird things have happened over the decades. And this podcast examines some of the things that have happened and the characters that made it happen and the people that paid the price.
I've listened and tuned into every single episode so far, and my favorite is about the Lynyrd Skynyrd plane crash. What was it like citing such an iconic moment in music history? How did you go about, choosing that episode and doing all of the research for that?
Well, this was brand new, so I started with the things that I knew a little bit more about, and one of the things I knew quite a bit about was the Lynyrd Skynyrd plane crash in October 1977, because I was around back then. I was a Lynyrd Skynyrd fan, and I remembered the reports on television and on radio, and I thought, okay, if we're going to do something that involves, I don't know if there's crime, mayhem, which made it certainly a viable topic for the program. And, the deeper you get into it, the weirder the story becomes. I mean, here's a rock band at the height of their powers who gets on a rickety aircraft with a couple of pilots who didn't bother to check the fuel levels and weren't exactly concerned about safety on a bunch of different levels. And this plane goes down in a swamp, and a number of people died, the pilots and three members of the band and some people in the crew. And there were a lot of horrific injuries there. And then when people
right
find
at the height of them, at the height of Lynyrd Skynyrd too, as well. That's it's one of my favorites for sure.
And when people heard about the plane crash, they came out of the Mississippi hinterlands and basically looted the plane and what was left, including purses and wallets. It's just a crazy story.
And there's your crime, right? If you're looking for crime, maybe we're just looking in the wrong places there. But just building on that a little bit more, so all of your episodes are about half an hour to the 45-minute range. And I don't want you to give away any secrets, but, including research and producing it and getting it up on podcatchers everywhere. How long does it usually take for you to kind of go from nothing to a finished product kind of thing?
Well, the program comes out every 2 weeks. And each script is somewhere between 4,000 and 5,000 words, which is a lot. So I would say that the whole thing, each episode takes me 10 or 12 hours, I think, something along those lines. Now,
Wow.
that doesn't count the stuff that I'm gathering, the research that I'm gathering, between shows, because I'm always looking for information. I'm always looking for topics. And that means, having to write, read a book or to dig into some magazine archives or something like that, which I will do when I have a moment long before I actually start running the program. And what I tend to do is write the show and then go back and augment certain parts, add additional information, create additional imagery, that kind of thing. So I fill it out after I've written the first draft. And that's what everybody gets to hear.
And that kind of I've had some narrators for audiobooks, some audio performers there, and they said it's about for every hour they have to record, it's about 8 hours. So story checks out there. And in our audience, we might have some young folks or some old folks in the audience that really want to get in the podcast or the radio industry. What's one thing you know now that you wish you knew when you started out in 1980? If you can narrow it down to one.
Well, the issue is that radio has changed dramatically since over the last 44 years. And that's because back in the day, radio was one of the few entertainment choices you had. You had movies, you had television with a limited number of cable channels. You could go to the mall or maybe read a book or a magazine. That was pretty much it. There was no social media, there was no internet. There were video games were something that you paid a quarter for at the arcade that you had to leave the house to play. So radio had a larger share of ear in the early 1980s than it does today. There's so much competition for it. What I can tell you is that radio is still very powerful, very popular, very profitable. It's just not the same as it was 44 years ago because of the way things changed. Now, would I have changed anything? No. I'm pretty pleased and grateful and lucky for the way things have turned out for me. So I don't know if there is anything I would tell my younger self to be out to look out for, simply because it is an industry that involves some bobbing and weaving. I would have probably learned more about computers sooner than I did. And I would probably have kept a closer eye on the internet when it first popped up in the mid 1990s than I did. I mean, a
Okay.
little bit, but we didn't do it enough. And I'm speaking as the industry as a whole. It kind of caught us off guard.
All right. That's a wonderful response, and I hope that others will take that to heart and go out there and get their podcast on, because it's wonderful to get all of these new ones out there. But as a music lover, you have your website, the Journal of All Musical Things. Am I allowed to ask for any favorites? And instead of, hey, what's your favorite song or band? What about what's your favorite iconic moment in history, if you could choose one? Or what's your favorite era of music, if you could choose?
I would say there was a period between 1989 and 1995 that's my favorite, because if you were into alternative music, new music at the time, every day it seemed that there was a new song, a new band, a new album, new scene, new sound that you had to learn everything about. It was an incredibly fertile time. And it was very, very exciting, because not only did we have the music coming out, we had things changing in terms of popular culture. Lollapalooza came along, and Generation X started exerting their influence. And it was just a pretty cool time to be involved in music. So that's my favorite era. Although I will tell you this, every generation has a biological right to believe that the music of their youth is is the greatest music of all time. So for me, that would be growing up in the 1970s and all the music that was coming out back then. Because when you are young, you use music as a way to figure out who you are. And once you figure out who you are, you then use music to demonstrate and broadcast to the world who you've become as a human being. And you might choose a different team. You might be a country kid, a pop kid, a goth kid, a punk kid, a metal kid, whatever it is. But this music becomes an essential part of your ID. And so with me, you know, there's a lot of stuff in the late 70s that would involve Van Halen and Pink Floyd and Deep Purple and all that kind of stuff that I will still go back to simply because that's 14-year-old me, 15-year-old me, 16-year-old me.
I think we all revisit that. Yeah, because I'm the same way and I must be getting old. And you can't go wrong with any of Van Halen, that's for sure.
No. Well, you can. You can if it's Sammy Hagar. Sorry, I'm a David Lee Roth guy.
Okay. All right. That's good to know. So you have no shortage of accomplishments and things that we should be celebrating with your radio shows, your career in radio, your podcast, the exhibition at the Science Center that you helped curate and were hugely influential on. But what comes next? Can you give us any insight as to Uncharted or is there anything else you got? What kind of other works you got on the go?
Uncharted is in the process of being optioned for a TV series, which would be pretty cool. It's still very much in the discussion phase, but that's certainly on the table. There's another program that deals with music history and history period that is also on the table. There is another TV show that deals with artists and their first big hits that is being bandied about by some people on both sides of the Atlantic. But I think the next thing that's going to happen for me is I've been hired tentatively to be the music researcher on a Hollywood feature film that will involve the Kent State Massacre of May of 1970. So,
or Dead in Ohio, Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. Yeah.
Where it starts. So, 2024 promises to be a pretty busy time outside of just doing radio and podcasts, which will continue. There's no question. Radio and podcasts are the things that, that pay the bills, but, I'm always looking for new and interesting things to do. And people have approached me with these projects and it's like, you bet, let's giddy up.
No, and you know what? I could sit here and chat with you. I have so many questions we didn't even get to, but I just really wanted to, we're unfortunately out of time and I wanted to thank you. And you are now a honored member of the Chatty Bookshelf, we'll call it society or guest list. And you're welcome back anytime. If you want to tell people where they can get their hands on, you can get your hands on Uncharted anywhere that you get your podcast from. But if you have handles that you want to follow Alan on, if you want to shout those out, because I know I follow you on Twitter.
Sure. Twitter X, whatever Elon Musk
right.
has ruined.
Yes.
It's at Alan Cross, ALANCROSS. I have my email is alan@alancross.ca. I answer every email myself. There's The Ongoing History of New Music, which is a podcast, Uncharted, we talked about. And I also have a website, ajournalofmusicalthings.com. And from there, you can get to my Facebook page and Instagram and whatever else I feel I need to do with social media.
Well, thank you so much. Everybody check out Uncharted, the podcast. You won't regret it. I mean, if they're making it into a TV show, then that's just like our audiobooks that are made into movies. They don't just choose anything. They got something good here. So thank you so much, Alan. I really appreciate the time.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
What a fantastic interview. Yeah, that was incredible. And of course, some more content for you to check out. If you want to go back and listen to any part of that, that was Ryan Huey's interview with Alan Cross, and it aired on Friday, February 16th. So you can go back. It's still available, at least for the next little while, the Chatty Bookshelf episode with that interview on your favorite podcast platform. After the break, we're going to be dispelling the anxieties around performance reviews at work with AMI's HR business partner, Alicia Yardley. She's going to be here with us. So stick around. It's Kelly and Rumia.
It's fun, insightful, and inclusive. Kelly and Rumia return in a minute.
Hi, I'm Red Sale, inviting you to download the latest episode of My Life in Books. where internationally acclaimed authors discuss their lives, their work, and three books that have resonated with them. That's My Life in Books, available wherever you get your AMI podcasts.